Praise the Lord. Welcome. Good to have you at the Living Savior Church today. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is good news what Dave's preaching today. I'm telling you, that's good news. I was just about to get happy back there when he quit. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's wonderful to know Jesus, isn't it? Wow, wow, wow. Well, as you remember that last Sunday we were in Ephesians chapter 1 and Galatians, and we talked about the blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us how many spiritual blessings?
All.
Okay, so what's left out of all?
Nothing.
Okay, so everything belongs to us. Okay, so today we're going to talk a little bit more about some of these wonderful things and what belongs to us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for all these spiritual blessings that you've given to us. And Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you that we live in an era when we have the word of God, where we can read it and study it every day, and we don't live in the dark ages, but we live in the ages of the printing press, and so we can see and hear and understand your word. And then Lord, thank you that we have the Holy Spirit to interpret it for us. So thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of life that you've given to us that have had the privilege to live in this time of history. And I want you to know how grateful I am for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Aren't you glad you live in this day? Wow, the good old days. You know, these are the good old days. You know, there's always some bad days and good days. But I'm telling you, as you look at the things that's here, you think about, well, let me just ask you a question. Let me start off like this. Let's just say that today I walked up to you, and maybe you didn't know me. Maybe I just met you. And I walked up to you and I says, you know, brother, I've been watching you, and I know you're a good man, so I've just went out and bought you an $800,000 house, and here's the title deed for it right here. Okay, and now that I'm not through, and since it's got four car garage on the backside, I'm assuming that you're going to have a mate or something somewhere along the line, or a good friend or whatever. So I went out and bought y'all two $80,000 Lexuses, and here's the keys for both of them. So far you like this, huh? And now then, just so that make sure that if you happen to not have the money, since you're going to have a very expensive house and two very expensive cars, here is a certified cashier's check for $1 million you can put in the bank so you can have money to run your house and your cars. Now then, can you imagine this man looking at me and saying, I'm not interested? No, I mean, see, but you can't even fathom that, can you? Every one of you, the deeper I got into this, the more you were drooling, wanting to say, I want to be that guy. Is that right? I mean, that's what I would be doing if somebody made me an offer like that, wouldn't you, Mike? I mean, that's one of those too good to be true things, huh? I mean, but you know, that could happen to you. You know that?
Absolutely.
That there's always that possibility.
And think of your blessing in return.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh boy, if I had the money to do that, there's no telling what I'd get, is there? There is no telling. But you know, we laugh about this. Everybody is saying, when he looked at me and says, I'm not interested. I don't want that house. I don't want those cars. I don't want your check. Get away from me. We can't go there, can we? Do you think you know anybody in the world that would turn down something like that if somebody really did proposition you with something this good? Do you think you know anybody that would say, I'm not interested? Do you think anybody would go there? I mean, I don't really think they would. Do you? No, not really, you know. I mean, but you know, there is some people that if I did all that, they would be skeptical, especially if they didn't know me. Although I got two sets of car keys, they say, yeah, those are just toys. You know, this is not real. Yeah, this title deed here, yeah, it says it's an $800,000 house, says it's paid in full, but you know, that's probably not true. That sounds too good to be true, doesn't it?
What's the catch?
Yeah, what's the catch? That's always the deal. What's the catch? That's the way we are. You know, we might be really sitting there wanting to get a hold of it, but there's got to be a catch, because this is too good to be true. It's just too good to be true. Well, let's think of on a higher tone, on a higher note. I walk into the same man and I say, hi, brother. I'm Thurman Scrivener. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
I do.
And he said, let's say he says, no.
No, I do not.
I do not know Jesus. I said, well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about the best thing ever happened to me.
Right.
I mean, I was on the way to hell. And a man come by and told me about the best thing ever happened to him, and it was Jesus. And he told me that God was not even holding my sins against me. It didn't matter how bad and how many. And you said, oh, but that couldn't happen to me because I've murdered 3 men, you know. I've done this and done that. Now I'm just the worst sinner in the world. I said, how about if I tell you he's not even holding those sins against you? At this point, he's not even holding that against you. He's given me the plan of reconciliation to come to you and say, he wants you to be restored to him. And this is a free gift. He's already forgiven all of your sins, no matter what you've done on earth. He's forgiven everything. And now he's building you a home in heaven. And you can have a great life on earth. And it don't cost you nothing except just believe in Jesus. How would you like to do that? And you know what most people say?
What a friend to have.
I'm not interested. That's too good to be true. But it is true. And that gift is worth a whole lot more than those cars and that house, and because this is an eternal gift, is it not, Gloria? But it is, we know, those of us that are in here today, those of us that are Christians, that have walked with God for any length of time, you literally know that this is true, that it is a free gift that God gave us. And there's so much more that he's given us, but most of us don't know it. So today, I'm going to start out and we're going to read some of these things. I'm going to cover those in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start with verse 4, verse 1. And I want to read some of those things to you. I want you literally to see these things with your own eyes. So, and the NLT. Yeah, let's use the NLT. Yeah. Yeah, the NLT. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4, start verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we will never give up. Now, what new way are they talking about? The new way of accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. In other words, under the law, like Dave was talking about there a minute ago about the law, to do what the law says is impossible, isn't it? I mean, it's just impossible. But with Jesus Christ, he's already paid the price. He's fulfilled the law. And now then he comes and gives us this new way. And the new way to heaven is, this is how difficult the new way to heaven is. I want it. That's how difficult it is. Is that true? Is that all I got to do is say, Lord, I want it? Really, that's all I got to do. In fact, the scripture says, to them that call on the name of Jesus will be saved. Is that right? So at any point in my life, before I die, as we get down to this stuff, we'll see, all I got to do is say how many words to be saved? One. That one word is too good to be true, isn't it, Bill?
It's true.
Jesus. Is that the only word you got to say? Yeah, are you sure? That's it, the name of Jesus. In fact, I will tell you that if there was ever a time in my life that those scriptures were confirmed to me beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was when Cheryl's daddy passed away. I mean, she had told the Lord, Lord, today somehow, some way, I got to know for sure my daddy went to heaven. I got to know. She said, you got to send me a sign or something. I've got to know whether my daddy, which is dying now, he's had an aneurysm, and she does not know for sure whether he's born again or not. He didn't go to church. You know, he didn't go to church. He didn't tithe. He didn't do none of those things. And very rarely did he ever talk about God unless he was using his name in vain. You know, so that's just the way he lived. And she knew that. So here is his daughter, and she does not want to see her daddy go into eternity in the wrong place. So she's crying out to the master, Lord, please. And so I walked in. And we had only been married about 5 months. This was 10 years ago when this happened. I walked in and I kind of put my knees on the edge of the bed and leaned up there right beside her. And she said, honey, can you pray for my daddy? I don't know if he's really saved or not. I said, sure, no problem. So I raised my hands and closed my eyes, and immediately what I saw blew me away. I mean, I'll never forget what I saw. When I closed my eyes, immediately I saw her daddy falling backwards like this into the black abyss. And that so shocked me. Now, I'm a man. I mean, I'm a man's man. And I don't cry about nothing. You can't hurt me bad enough to make me cry. But let me tell you, when I saw that, guess what came out of my eyes? Tears gushing out. Cheryl had never seen anything like that. She's never seen anything like that since. I mean, I hardly knew her daddy. I'd only met him two times in my life. One time when we got married, and one other time when we went over to tell him we were going to get married. And I was only with him a few minutes both times, so I did not know her daddy. But whenever I saw him falling backwards, I started gushing tears out of my eyes. And as those tears were gushing out, I kept my eyes closed. And I said, Howard, I said, call on the name of Jesus. And she's saying, yes, Daddy, call on the name of Jesus. She didn't know what was going on. She ain't seeing nothing. I'm the one that's in the spirit world right there. And I'm watching Howard fall backwards further and further and further, deeper and deeper into the abyss. And I'm screaming, Howard, please call on the name of Jesus. I was watching my first man fall into the abyss. I realize people die and go to hell every day, but I don't get to see them. And I'm glad, aren't you? But her daddy, because of her prayer, I was watching him fall into that abyss. And all of a sudden, as I'm screaming at him, and Cheryl saying the same thing, Daddy, yes, Daddy, call on the name of Jesus. All of a sudden, I heard him say, Jesus. Ever so light, one little word, Jesus. And immediately, from somewhere up above, a bright white light illuminated him, stopped his fall, and just like Superman, sucked him into that light, and he was gone to heaven. And I got to see that. Yeah. Because of his daughter's prayer, he allowed me to do that. And in the last seconds of his life, he was saved because he spoke one word, Jesus. Is that the most powerful name there is? It saved him from having to spend eternity in a lake of fire. That's terrible to even think about anybody doing that. But I am sure that somebody had told him many times, or at least several times, about Jesus, but he didn't think it was important. He thought he was okay. But he wasn't. But that one word, Jesus. And I'm telling you, whenever I opened my eyes, Cheryl had never seen me cry like that. Never. I don't think anybody has ever seen me cry like that. Never. I don't think I've ever cried like that in my life for nothing. I mean, I've been hurt. I've had my hand torn to pieces. I've been mashed and fell and hurt. And I remember one time I was down here welding on a building, and I was up way over atop of the ground, and the sea purlins are 4 foot apart. And I got cables across my back and everything else, and a welding helmet on. And I reached way out there to step on that 4 foot deal, and my toe just barely touched the other side. And I went face down across that beam and landed on that beam right there on my hip. And I'm telling you what, it almost brought tears to my eyes. But you know, I thought, I lay there for a few minutes, and the pain was so intense. And finally, I thought, I sure hope there wasn't nobody seen me do that stupid thing. There I was laying there hurting like crazy, and all I'm interested in, I hope nobody saw me perform that stupid feat. Isn't it amazing how we are as men? Oh, Lord. But that didn't even bring tears to my eyes. And if you haven't fell face down across a steel beam right on your hip lately, you ain't lived. It hurt. I'm telling you, it did hurt. It took a while for me to recover. But even that didn't bring tears to my eyes. But her daddy brought tears to my eyes. And of course, whenever I finally, after I saw him go to heaven, I opened my eyes and I said, wow, God is awesome. And Cheryl says, what did you see? And of course, I told her. And of course, she was the most grateful woman in the world right there because she got her prayer answered. She got to hear me tell the story of how I saw her daddy go to heaven. Now, that's the only human being I've ever seen go to heaven. But I got to see that one. Isn't that awesome? I mean, God is so good. He's so good. But just think how close, and think how many people today that don't have somebody praying for them like that, and they close their eyes in death in a hospital room or in a car wreck or who knows where, and the next time they open their eyes, which is a second later, they're in a tunnel on the way to that abyss, to that lake of fire. Now then, you would think with this plan that we're going to go over today, we should be able to convince people of the truth. Now I want you to see something here. Let's go to verse 2. He's given us this new way, so never give up on people. He says, we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. Now, is that the way we should be known? I mean, as men and women of God, we should not distort the truth. We should be telling the truth, and we should be standing on His word and telling people about Jesus. So verse 3, let's see what verse 3 says. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Now then, was Cheryl Daddy perishing? Yeah, he was on the way. But is he a unique individual? No, he's not. Wonder what percentage, after we heard Howard Pittman here, what percentage of the people that did he see that died when he had his death experience in 1979, what percentage of the people did God tell him was going to heaven? Anybody remember? How much? No, it was, yeah, that's it. 2.5%. In other words, out of 2,000 people, that's only 50. 50 people out of 2,000. You know, so that means in this room, let's say we got 100 people in here today. Say we got 50 on this side and 50 on this side. If we were in that criteria, how many on this side get to go to heaven if all of us died today? 2. How many get to go to heaven out of this side? 2. That's not very many, is it? Just think. Somebody said, that's impossible. It couldn't be. There's no way it could be that. So if that's the way it is, then why in the world is it that way? Well, listen, what did that say? If the good news that we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. In other words, is it hidden from you? No, everybody in this room, almost everybody here today, almost, I would say maybe there's one or two that's lost. But as a rule, the people that come here to this church, they're all born again, spirit-filled. I mean, they know Jesus. You know, they've heard of Him. Jesus is not the first time when you come here, that's not the first time you ever heard the name of Jesus. Now, we have had a few, but not very many. You know, somebody will drag somebody in here trying to get them healed. You know, and maybe they had never heard about Jesus. Well, I mean, just like Kim, you know, I mean, I got tickled. She'd heard the name of Jesus, but her and her husband both had been raised up Catholics, right? So y'all didn't hear much about Jesus, did you?
No,
they didn't hear much about Jesus. But finally, one day, they came down here from Minnesota. They come to God's country. You know, they come down to where it's nice and warm in the summertime, you know. So, but anyway, they come down here, and they heard about a crazy preacher that preaches healing. Now, they was a little bit excited about that, thinking she had had a back problem for years. And so, maybe we ought to go hear about this guy. You know, maybe we ought to go see him. But we were watching television, and we're watching people that are being prayed for healing. We're watching them all fall down and all kinds of stuff. And that may be okay, but that's not what I want to do. So I ain't too sure. We're going to go see this guy. So they came to a service, and they sat way over close to the door, where they could get out if something crazy went wrong. Isn't that something? And then I give an invitation for people to come up to be healed. And she said, I ain't going up there. He might push me down. I ain't going up there. See, did she have very much faith? Didn't have a whole lot, did she? So anyway, I'm praying for the people that did come up. And as I'm praying for them, God is healing them. And that is the only day in my life, in my history, that out of about 25 or 30 people that came up for prayer, that day, Every human being I prayed for, Jesus Christ healed them. Some of you were there. Were you not? Were some of you there that day? I don't know whether you were or not, but there might have been a few of you there. That is the only church service I've ever been in my 30 years of preaching this good news and seeing people get healed. That's the only day in my life that everybody that came up got healed, including those that didn't come up. She didn't come up. She was sitting at the seat, and she realized when she started to get ready to go home, she had no back pain. Is that right, Kim?
Amen.
She had no back pain. And how many years ago has that been? 10?
Yeah, at least.
And she's never had a back pain since.
No.
Now, does Jesus do good work?
Yes, he does.
See, even when you don't believe, see?
That's right.
You had to believe a little.
I did.
But you see what I mean? This good news that I'm teaching is hidden from lots of people. And some get a little bit of it over here and thinking, well, maybe we'll go down there. And then when they get there, they walk in. And of course, back in those days, I was in just a warehouse, you know. And whenever people come down and walk through that dark alleyway back to the back and all that stuff, and we're in a warehouse, and we go in there, and we don't have nothing that looks like church. Nothing, except maybe a little platform that the girls were up on. But there wasn't much that looked like church. But if God can heal you in that, why is it that people don't believe the truth? When we tell them, if the good news we preach is hidden behind the veil, it is hidden from people who are perishing. That means people that are perishing spiritually and physically. Do you know there's some people that try everything they can to get their brother, sister, in-law, aunt, uncle, whatever, to come here for healing, and they do everything but drag them down here, and they won't come. Why is that? Why is it that I'm talking about people that are supposedly in church. I'm talking about people that believe in Jesus, but yet they will not come. I mean, I've had numerous people tell their mother or their father or something, Mom, you know, you're sick. But, you know, Thurman, he preaches. He's a Baptist, ex-Baptist preacher, and he preaches and God heals people. And he's a Baptist. Well, I've been to a Baptist church for the last 50, 60 years, and I ain't never seen nobody healed. So if God still does it, why don't he do it in our church? Good question. Good answer, huh? But absolutely, that's the way it works. People don't get healed very much. So this good news that we're preaching, I mean, is salvation good news?
Yes.
Is healing good news?
Yes.
Was it good news for Kim?
Yes.
I mean, after she'd been sick all these years, and now then all of a sudden, for the first time in years, for like she said, the last 10 years, she's not had any back pain in her body. And how many people... Let me just ask this question. How many people in this room today have had some kind of wonderful healing from Jesus through this ministry? Wow, look at that. Look at the people. Just turn around and look at them. I'll hold your hand back up again. Look at the people that have been healed. You know, isn't that awesome? These people that just held up their hand, all of them have been healed at this ministry. Not somewhere else, here. She just happened to be one. I just singled her out. I'll just single out Michael. Michael had back trouble also for years. They came here and heard the truth. I didn't even pray for Michael. His lovely bride prayed. Oh, by the way, they just celebrated 22 years last night too. Praise the Lord. I just happened to think about that. Praise God. 22 good years of marriage. But that lovely bride of his prayed for him in faith for the first time a couple of years ago now. I guess it was something like that. And for the first time in years, Michael's back was, and I've heard him say many times, I say, how long did it take God to heal you? And he says, one heartbeat. Isn't that awesome, Mike?
Amen.
He'd been sick all that time. I mean, this girl must be anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. You better be careful. Is it nice to have a mate like that? Amen. Boy, I'll tell you for sure. The good news of healing is here, and it don't just work for me, it works for y'all when you do it yourself. And many of you here have prayed for one another, and God has done awesome things. But this good news, obviously, is pretty well hidden, is it not? It's amazing. It said, and if the good news of salvation, the good news of healing, or good news of deliverance, we preach is hidden behind the veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Now, let's... But you could be perishing physically, spiritually, anyway. Verse 4, let's see what verse 4 says there. Now we're going to throw the critter in here. What's his name?
Satan.
Satan who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news of salvation, the good news of healing, the good news of deliverance. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now, is that something? Is that amazing that we can't see this wonderful good news because our eyes are blinded by this devil of hell? In other words, you see now when I walk up to you and say about the house, you was pretty ready to jump on that.
Oh, yeah.
And the cars and all, and the money, and you'd tuck $1 million even if that's all I'd give you to tuck it, wouldn't you?
I would've.
Of course you would. But when I walk up to you and say, you know, let me tell you about the best thing ever happened to me, how I got healed, and you're sick, and you say, I'm not sure I believe that. Does that happen all the time? All the time, brother. I mean, all the time. I see people all the time that, and when people don't believe the truth of the word, then they don't ever get anything from God, do they, Eric? You got to believe. You got to believe. And I mean, just like the Lord says, if you do not believe, he said, you're double-minded and you're unstable in all your ways. And let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. So when you believe, I mean, you know, I've told you all these stories before, but it's happened several times right here in this church as well as in Dallas. And I remember that young boy that was about 10, I guess, some little boy, 9 or 10, 8 or 9 or 10. And his grandmother called me and said, our son and his girlfriend have produced this child that's rebellious. We can't do nothing with him. And they're out drugging and running around and doing everything except what they're supposed to be doing. And they've left this child with us and we can't control this child. Said, do you think you can do something to this child? I said, sure. I said, this was on Thursday. I said, I'm having a healing school Saturday. Bring the boy to the healing school. They said, but he's not sick. I said, oh yeah, he's sick. It's just a different kind of sickness. But he's sick. So they brought him that next Saturday for the healing school. And I taught about 4 or 5 hours. And then people started coming up for prayer. And finally they got there and they said, we're the ones that had the little boy. I said, well, where is he? He said, well, he's running around back there in the back. I said, well, bring him up here. So they brought this little guy up, and he's a little short guy, so I got down right here where I could look him right in the eye. I said, son, what you need is Jesus Christ. No, I'm not interested. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. I said, but he can set you free. He can do everything for you. He can change your life. Nope, not interested. I reached up, and I grabbed him by the shoulders. I squeezed him a little bit and I shook him a little bit and he startled him and he looked me right in the eye. When he did, I said, you devil of hell, you devil of unbelief, you beast of hell, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of this boy and go to the abyss and never enter him again. I said, now, Father, in Jesus' name, I said, no one can get saved except you draw them by the Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to draw this boy into the kingdom of God right now in the name of Jesus. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. That's how simple it was. Now, why is it that people don't want to make Jesus Lord of their life? Who's the answer? The devil. Is that what the scripture said? The devil, Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. So if there's anybody out there that you go up to, I used to wonder, this just dumbfounded me. When I could go up and say, in fact, I told some of y'all about the little yellow and black pen, you know, that they give me when I went to the school, you know, the Baptist school up in Denton. They were teaching us how to lead somebody to Jesus. And so we went for a whole week every night. And at the end of the week, of course, we practiced on each other and everything else. And of course, it was difficult, even though you're practicing on a believer. You know, you're trying to tell, you know, talk to them about Jesus. I'd never done this before, but I wanted to learn how to lead people to Christ. And so at the end of the week, they give us a little button, and a little black button with little yellow lines all over it, you know, like a maze. I said, what's that for? And they said, put that on your jacket when you go to work next week, and that will entice somebody. They'll see that, knowing you've never wore that before, And they're going to say, Thurman, what's that little button you're wearing on your shirt right there? Then you're to say, that's to remind me to tell you about the best thing that ever happened to me. Well, what is that? The day I met Jesus. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? And if they say no, then tell them about Jesus. I said, okay. Well, let me tell you what. I was an engineering instructor for Braniff. And that morning when I went to work, I put that on my shirt. And I'm telling you what, I was in agony. Because I just thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to say? How am I going? So I went to work and I kind of looked in the door to make sure there wasn't nobody in the hallway. I walked down through there real careful, and nobody was there for a little while. And of course, finally I walked by somebody and they never said anything. And so I got more comfortable and more comfortable and more comfortable every day as nobody asked me about my button. So by Friday, it's no problem. Put it on, go to work, nobody's going to ask. Here I am in a class with 30 graduate engineers, and I'm the instructor. I said, okay, guys, now we've gone over the test, over the review for the test, I mean. I said, is there anybody has another question before we take the test? And one guy held up his hand. He said, I got a question. I said, okay, sir, what's your question? He said, that little black and yellow button you've been wearing all week, what is that for? Now, he didn't do it in the hallway with one. I got all 30 engineers in there. Oh, Lord. I'm standing up there on the platform, and I said, you know, I thought, well, here it is, God. You know, you're in control. Boy, he nailed me. Does God know really how to put you to the test?
He's got a sense of humor.
Oh, he's definitely got a sense of humor. And so I said, you know, that's to remind me of the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. He said, what was that? I said, the day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I said, have you ever done that? And he says, no. And I thought, what do I do now? Wow. So I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, dude. Let's take the test, and after the test, I'll talk to you out in the hall. Is that okay? He said, sure. So, well, when they got through their test, they came out in the hall. All of them wanted to know what I had to say. So all the engineers gathered around. They all wanted to hear it, and several of them got saved that day. You know, does God know what he's doing? I got to tell them this story. So simple, but it makes you wonder why everybody doesn't already know Jesus if you live in America. But here's the answer. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the gospel, the good news. They don't understand. You know, so can you imagine that if I'm walking with you and as we're walking along here, let's say that my eyes, there's nothing wrong with them, and I can see straight ahead and I can see everything. But say the guy that's riding or walking beside me, something has happened to his eyes and he can only see a little tiny tunnel right straight ahead of it, and that's all he can see. He can't see what I can see. In other words, you know, right now standing right here, I can see that wall and I can see that wall. I can see everything between them and everything back there. Can't you?
Yes.
Sure you can. Your eyes are like that. But what if your eyes were blinded to some point where you could only see what was right in front of you? Obviously, this is what the enemy does to us. He blinds our mind to this truth. Because can you imagine? No, you can't even imagine me telling you, I'll not only give you the $1 million, but I'll give you those two cars and that beautiful $800,000 house, and it's all free. You don't even have to pay taxes on it. It's done. Ain't no man in his right mind would turn that down. Is that right? I bet you a good woman wouldn't turn that down either, would she? So you see what I mean, right? We're not going to turn something like that down. Then why would we turn something down better than that? I mean, that's the best thing in the world, isn't it, brother? Yeah, there ain't nothing even compares. You ask any Christian. In fact, you ask any Christian, I bet if I ask this question right now, as a Christian, how many of you that know Jesus Christ as your, how many in here have made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Okay. Now then, let me ask this question. How many of you are sorry you've done that? Oh, I didn't have a single taker. So see, brother, they're all grateful for it, right? Now, anything that's that good, if it's that good, And not one single person, in fact, I think everybody in here held up your hand. I didn't see a single person that didn't have their hand up. If everybody in here has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and not one single one of them, and some of you, now like me, for instance, I got saved when I was 11 and I'm 75 years old. And I'm telling you, I love Jesus more today than I did when I got saved. Amen. You know what I mean, right? The longer and more we walk with Him, the sweeter it gets, right, brother? Amen. Absolutely. If you spend time with God, you just think, wow, this is so good. Why didn't I know this? Judy, is that the way it is? You don't want to not know Jesus, do you, girl? No, you can't even imagine living a day without your Savior, right? No, I can't either. If that's the case, then why are there so many people out there that don't know Jesus? Well, the answer is right there, isn't it, brother? Their eyes have been blinded. Your eyes have got to be blinded. You know, just like when I was in the Baptist church all those years. Do you think there was any sick people in the Baptist church in all them years I was in there? I mean, they was dying all around us. Did we ever go to the hospital and really pray for somebody? Expect it? I'll tell you what. My neighbor lived across the street from me, Mr. Ross. He was probably 20 years older than me, but he was a Methodist. Him and his wife went to church. I mean, boy, on Sunday, they'd come out there in their nice clothes and they'd get in his car and they'd go to church. They left earlier than I did. You know, but I went too, to my church, to my Baptist church. One time, Mr. Ross had some kind of a minor surgery. I don't remember what it was, but they had cut him open somewhere in his belly or something. And so I thought, well, the first day I won't go see him because I thought he might not feel like a visitor the first day. So I waited till the second day. And so the second day I went in and I walked in, sat down, and he's sitting there, and I said, Mr. Ross, how are you doing? He said, oh, Thurman. He said, I've got the hiccups ever since I woke up. And he said, I've got the hiccups, and they have tried everything known to man to stop my hiccups, and they can't stop them. He said, they've tried scaring me. They've tried getting me to drink water, tried putting my fingers in my ears. He said, they've tried everything known to man, and nothing works. I said, Mr. Ross, have you prayed about it yet? Now, what do you think his answer was? No, of course not. Pray. He said, oh, my God, I can't believe we've done everything but pray. Now, see, why do you think that they had done everything but pray? Because what do you think they did in that Methodist church? Do you think they ever saw miracles or healings? No, absolutely not. If they had, that's the first place he'd have went, was he wanted somebody to pray for him, right? Yeah, even if he'd ask a doctor. When the doctor says, let's do this, and he said, no, are you a Christian? The doctor said, yeah. He said, well, pray for me. If he'd seen God do miracles, but if you're in a church where you ain't never seen one, do you ever think about asking for prayer? No, let's do everything the world's got. Our minds are blinded to the truth by this devil. I mean, he doesn't just blind our minds to salvation. He blinds our minds to everything. That's why we need to be in church on a regular basis, so our eyes are not blinded by this beast. And so I told him, I said, well, let me just lay hands on you, Mr. Ross. The scripture says in Mark chapter 16, verse 18, lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. I mean, does it say that? Yeah. Sure it does. So I just reached over and touched him. I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And I left 30 minutes later. He said, Thurman, I wished you to come yesterday. He said, I have not hiccuped not one single time since you've touched me in the name of Jesus. He said, I do not understand why I didn't even think about praying. How many people today that are call themselves Christians, that go to church, that also go to the doctor, and they suffer, and never one time think about praying? Do we know people like that? Oh, yeah, they call here all the time. I mean, and sometimes when they come here, it's a last resort. Well, I've done this. I've tried this. I've been sick for 10 years. I've done this, and I've done this, and I've had 14 people, like Sharon. I remember when Sharon came to me to the first healing school 10 years ago, when she come up for prayer, she said, I have never heard the Word of God preached like this in my life. I've never seen this, but I want you to know I've been prayed for 100 times with no results. I said, well, Sharon, did you confess your sins first? She said, confess my sin? No, I did not confess my sin. I said, well, then that's why you didn't get your prayer answered. God said He does not hear the prayer of a sinner. Is that what He says? So don't you think if God says, I do not hear the prayer of a sinner, don't you think it might be a good idea to confess your sin? Do you want Him to hear your prayer? Michael? So anytime we go to pray for somebody, a good thing to do right then before we pray is, Lord, I repent of all my sins, right? Just make sure you're covered, washed in the blood, because you want your prayer answered, right? Absolutely. And that's the way you get it done. But she hadn't done that. I said, okay. Now then, I want you to confess your sin. Well, she did. She confessed her sin. I said, first of all, how long you had the problem? She said, 30 years. 30 years I've been in this pain. I said, so let's go back 30 years and let's think of a sin you committed 30 years ago. Didn't take the Holy Spirit very long to convict her of what she had done wrong. And so she repented of her sin. I said, okay, now then that you've repented of your sin, I said, God says he watches over his word to perform his word. So I says, what scripture or healing scripture or promise are you going to use to get delivered and healed? And she said, scripture? I never used a scripture. I said, well, you see why you've been prayed for 100 times with no results. You're not doing it God's way. God didn't say he watches over your words to perform then, did he? He said, I watch over my words to perform. That's exactly right. So if we want to get healed, we come to him on behalf of his promises, right? And so we selected a verse and we prayed. I said, now then, when we started to pray, I said, now, Sharon, you have repented of your sin. We've now gotten the scripture. And I said, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith over you, and I'm going to guarantee Jesus is going to heal you. And I prayed the prayer of faith over Sharon Jones, and Jesus completely healed her, and that's 10 years ago, and she's still completely, totally well. Now then, is God pretty awesome? Yes. When you do it his way, he's awesome. But, I mean, do you think that he wanted to heal Sharon 10 years ago? I'll tell you what he wanted. He wanted her to never get sick 10 years ago, but he didn't want her to step into that sin she got into either. But she got into it. And when we get into sin, it's a good thing he's there to forgive us our sins, isn't he? Because if he didn't forgive us, we would all be in big trouble, would we not? Now he says there, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Now then, isn't that awesome? All these promises, these spiritual blessings, all of them belong to the church. Is that what he said? If all of them belong to us, you know, I think about this young man that listened to my teachings one day, and he called me, and he was the director of a camp in Minnesota. Or Wisconsin it was. Wisconsin, that's where he was, Wisconsin. He said, Thurman, I've got a question. He says, I am a youth camp director here in Wisconsin. And he said, real often when I get on the platform with 40 or 50 or 60 kids in here, I will come down with a seizure. He said, there's nothing any more intimidating to fall on the floor in front of 50 kids with a seizure. I said, okay, brother. I said, we got to find your sin. I said, usually that sin is associated with your father. I said, I've just learned this over the years. It just happens to be. I said, do you have any problem with your dad? He said, my dad's already dead. I said, don't make any difference. I said, how long you had these problems? He said, since I was about 20. I said, was your dad alive then? He said, yes, he was. I said, okay. I said, you know the scripture says that children are to honor their parents, that it may go well with you and you may have a long life. Do we know that? Yeah. Do you think God meant what he said there? Yeah. Sure he did. So I said, was there ever a time when you lied to your dad or did something that your dad told you not to do that you did and that was against his will? He said, yeah. He said, when I was about 17 years old, he said there was one of those big rock groups came to my area where I was living at the time, and we were going to go to this rock group and watch them dance and sing and all the junk they do. And when my dad found out where I was going, my dad told me, you can't go. You cannot go to that thing. So he said, okay, Dad, we'll just go out and we'll go have a few Cokes or something or do whatever. We'll go to a drive-in movie or something, but we won't go to the rock concert. But he said, we drove off, and guess where we went? He went to the rock concert. He said, I lied to my dad. And he said, shortly thereafter, I started coming down with seizures. And I said, well, it's all because you lied to your dad. I said, now your dad's dead, but I want you to repent. And I want you to ask your dad to forgive you, and although he's dead, and I want you to ask God to forgive you. And then it's a spirit, it's a demon that's come into your life. I'm going to cast out that spirit. And I said, I guarantee once you repent of your sins, I have been given complete power and authority over that spirit. And I said, he will have to go away in the name of Jesus. Now, most churches don't believe that at all. I don't know why their eyes and minds are so blinded to this, but in fact, from where we are right here, let's go to Luke 10, 19 and 20, and then we'll come back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, when we come back. And I want you to see what Luke 10, 19 and 20 says. Look at this. Here we're talking about Satan right there. Jesus is talking here, and he says, behold, I give unto you power to tread on the serpent, or that's Satan, that very word there. I've given you power to tread on Satan and his scorpions, or his demons, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now then, if we have a scripture like that from our King himself, how much power do we have over the devil? All we got to do is repent of our sin, right? And when we cast him out, if we believe he's got to leave, he's got to leave. Is that right? That's according to the word. So I used these scriptures and I commanded that beast to leave that man. And I forget, it was several months later when he called back and said, Thurman, I'm delivered. He said, I've not had a single problem. In fact, he said, I went to the head camp director and I told him about my deliverance. And he said, wow, well, you're going to have to get that guy up here to speak to our youth. And so he said, can you do that? And I said, sure, I'll come up there and speak to him. And so we set up a date 2 or 3 months in the future. And in the meantime, his director went to my website and started listening to some of my teachings. And when he found out I believed that sin and sickness are directly related, he had a real problem with that. He said, there is no way that I'll ever believe sin and sickness are directly related. Now, I tell you what, you can't read God's word if you read it with an open mind. And you can't read more than a page or two without finding that somewhere. You know that? It's all over the place once you see it, isn't it? I mean, it's everywhere. And so, anyway, he called me back and says, my director said that they're going to have to cancel you, that he would never allow you to speak at our camp. I mean, I'm going to be just like Jesus here in this case. If you don't believe for no other reasons, believe because of the miracles themselves. Amen. Is that what Jesus said? I mean, my goodness, I am who I am, he says. I am God. Well, who are we? We are his sons. Are we sons of God? Amen. Absolutely. And if we know we're sons of God, then Jesus clearly said, brother, Jesus said in John 14, 12, to anybody that believes in me, not only shall you do what I've been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. Amen. That's a pretty awesome statement, isn't it?
The best.
If we could just believe that.
I believe it
too, but I wished I could believe it stronger. You see what I mean? I mean, that's an awesome statement coming from God. He's given us that power and that authority. So when I read this, that next verse, let's read the verse 20 also. Verse 20, he says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits or evil spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, if them devils of hell have to obey me, then why should I let a little boy sit here and tell me he's not interested in Jesus? Who's blinding his mind? The devil. And did he tell me how much power he gave me over the devil? So am I going to stand right here or sit right here on my knee and allow a little 8 or 9 or 10 year old boy to tell me he don't want nothing to do with Jesus and he's not going to do anything I tell him when I know that's a demon in him? And I know that I've been given all power and all authority over that spirit. And all I got to do is exercise it in faith. And when I do, that devil has got to obey me. The scripture said so, didn't he?
Yes.
Nevertheless, or notwithstanding this, rejoice not. You don't have to rejoice. That these evil spirits are subject unto you. What does it mean for a devil to be subject to you?
Obey.
Obey. That's exactly right. You tell him what to do. Now, here a while back, Scott and Kim are over here somewhere at another church or something. I think you were at a church. Wasn't it a church? And they were doing something, and a storm come up, and really bad weather, and everybody was running around wondering where we're going to hide. You know, what are we going to get under if a tornado comes? And this crazy woman. Now, I mean, this girl's got to be crazy. And Scott, I don't know where he was, but she was somewhere. And so those boys something said something about this. She said, well, let's go outside and take care of that. And these boys didn't know what she was talking about. This woman goes outside, throws her hands up, begin to talk to that storm and command that storm to leave. And then boys, when they got there, they said, we ain't never heard nobody talk to a storm like that. But what happened to the storm, Kim?
It went away.
Now, isn't that amazing, the power that God's given us? And when we exercise our power and authority, of course, they both know that. I mean, they command weather and everything and all the time. Both of them do. And it happens. What is wrong with us that we're allowing this beast to blind our mind to the truth? Is that who the scripture said was blinding our mind? Now, it's not just for salvation. It's for healing. It's for all kinds of things. You know, because, you know, I mean, my mind had not been blinded for salvation. When I was 11 years old, I knew I was born again. But I mean, for the next 20 years, at least the next 20 years, I know I had to be at least 30 before I even began to get a hold of God being a healer. I just didn't get that at all. Never saw it. It wasn't in the scripture, you know, I mean, that I could see. So I just couldn't get a hold of it. So guess who was blinding my mind to those things? In fact, I remember the night that the Lord spoke to me audibly and down in front of Ed Brock's hospital room in Louisville, Texas, in the hospital, when he told me, said, son, tell Ed. Now, he'd been diagnosed with terminal cancer. He's 42 years old, and he's only got a few weeks to live. When the Lord spoke to me in his room and said, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. I ain't never seen nobody healed in my life. I mean, this. I looked up and said, Lord, you didn't understand what she said. She said he has terminal cancer. Now, the Lord didn't say nothing to me, but I can just see him now saying, son, if you ever get a hold of who I really am, you will never make a stupid statement like that again. Can't you understand that? I mean, but you know, I was a Baptist. I mean, I'd never seen a healing. I mean, good grief, give me a break. You know, I mean, this. Some of y'all that have seen healing or you know, maybe raised up in a Pentecostal church or something, you might think, well, good grief, why didn't he believe? I'm telling you, I didn't believe because I had never seen any examples in the church I was in. I had never seen these things happen. I mean, here I can talk to almost any of you men here, almost any of y'all, and we won't talk long, and you'll tell me about something Jesus did in your life, or you'll tell me about when he spoke to you about something or whatever. But when I was with men in the Baptist church, those things, they were non-existent. You know, I never, ever. I remember one day when I went to the Baptist church down here after they built a new one, I was just down there one Sunday morning visiting. And I, of course, I don't have my church till the afternoon, so one morning I went down there years ago. And I was sitting there, and I'm going around the room shaking these hands, these 20, 21, 22-year-old young men. And finally, I get over around this one, he says, I said, what does that mean? I said, give me your hand. I want to show. No, Mr. Scrivener. He says, I got the flu, and I've been coughing in my hand, so I don't want to give you the flu. I said, son, give me your hand. I said, I'm immune to that. That can't bother me. I guarantee it. I shook his hand. If you know the truth, you're immune to that. Is that right?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about catching the flu. It can't touch you. You know, when you know God's word and where it's written, you know that if you are not sinning, in fact, let me take you to this scripture. 1 John 5:18. I want you to see this verse. Listen, look at this. If you know this verse and you know this verse belongs to you, you don't ever have to let anything come upon you again. Now, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Now, are we born of God? Everybody in here held up their hand a while ago. Yes, I'm born of God. Now then, do we meet the criteria? Are we not sinning? Now, if you know you're living in some kind of sin and you're a believer, you're in trouble because the devil can get to you. But if you know that you're not walking in no kind of known sin, you're not practicing sinning, you're walking in obedience to God's word, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, which is us, we keep ourselves from evil, and the wicked one toucheth us not. Is that good news?
Yes.
Don't you love that?
Love it.
Yeah.
So all me and you got to do is make sure we don't practice no kind of sin, right? If we don't practice no kind of sin, if we stay in that book and read it, what can the devil do to you and me?
Nothing.
I love that. So if the devil comes on me and starts to put a runny nose on me, I said, Lord, if I've repented some, done something, I repent. Now I said, devil, I remind you of this verse. You can't touch me. Did the Lord tell us, James 4:7? What did he tell us to do in James 4:7? Let's look at that. James 4:7. Look at this. What does submit mean? Submit yourself to God. In other words, if a runny nose or a cold or a pain or anything else starts coming up on me, all I got to do is say, Lord, I don't know what I did here, but I repent. Now then, I'm submitting myself to you, Lord. I'm submitting myself to God. Therefore to God. Now, Satan, I'm resisting you with it is written. The word says you can't touch me. Is that what he said? So if I remind the devil he can't touch me and I'm not living in no kind of known sin, what can he do to me, brother?
Nothing.
Isn't that good news? And that makes life worth living, doesn't it, Gloria? You know, I've got to tell y'all now that this, it's amazing how different things hit me. But probably 10, 12 years ago, this lovely little lady right here, Gloria, she worked for me. She came out here and helped me out. And she had a relative, cousin or something, that had a baby girl. And the doctors told the little girl, after the little girl, mother of the little child, after it was born, says, you better spend as much time as you can with your baby because her liver is failing and she'll never go home from the hospital. But this woman had worked with me and heard me teach the principles of the kingdom. She went to see her cousin or whoever it was. I think it was a cousin or a little cousin. And she said, I didn't know you got married. Oh, she said, I didn't get married. She said, but you just had a baby girl. Well, yeah, I moved in with a boy. I'm living with a boy. She says, don't you know that sin? Don't you know that opens the door to the devil, to you and your children? She did not. She said, I want you to repent right now and make God a promise. You'll never go to bed with another boy that you ain't married to. You were pretty rough on her, wasn't you? But she repented, didn't she? And then Gloria goes down to that hospital, and this little child's in an incubator type thing, glass. And she can't touch it, but she puts her hands on the glass. And she says, Father, in Jesus' name, I know you know that I can't touch this child, but you know what I'm doing. I'm doing it in total faith. My cousin has repented of her sin, so the legal right of the enemy is now removed from this child. So she said, Satan, I command you to get your hands off this baby in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is always yes about healing. And how old is that child today, Gloria? She's how old?
Yeah, she's about
10. 10 years old. How long did it take her to get healed? Within an hour. Within an hour, the little girl was healed after she prayed for her. Isn't it wonderful to know these things? If she had not known that scripture says, if you've submitted yourself to God, you can resist the devil and he'll flee. You knew that. Even back in those days, you knew that. But she didn't know that. She had no knowledge of that. She had no idea that the minute she crawled in bed with a boy that she was not married to, she was opening a door to the demonic world and she was practicing sinning. And the evil one had every kind of legal right to her. And what does John 10:10 say? The beast, what? Let's put that up there and let you read that. Let's see what John 10:10 says. The thief, which is the devil and his demons, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now who made this beast? God did. God made him and he made him and put all those little attributes in him. And is he good at what he does? When he gets legal right to a baby? It don't seem fair, does it, Gloria? A little tiny baby, and the doctor had no clue. I remember you telling me years ago, the doctor said, you better go down to the hospital and spend as much time with your little daughter as possible because she's only going to live a few days, maybe a few hours. And because of the knowledge you had of God's word, That little girl's a 10-year-old girl today, alive and well. And doing, I guess she's doing great. I hadn't seen her.
She's doing great.
Doing great. One of these days, you're going to have to bring her out here. I'd love to see her. You know, I'd like to see her. Since I know the story, it's wonderful to see the results. Isn't it, Michael? Isn't God awesome? Did he make a set of rules? And does he hold all of us accountable to him? Yes, he does. And so, see, if you don't know the rule book, you don't know how to play by the rules. If you hadn't have known how to play by the rules, that little girl would not be here today. She would be hopefully in heaven, but at least she wouldn't be alive. She would have died, just like that doctor said. Isn't that amazing, the things that happens to us? Now let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we put ourselves are your servants or for Jesus' sake. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach about Jesus. Is there anything else to preach about than Jesus? I don't think so. Verse 6, for God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now then, as we get in the Word, and if we spend time with God in the Word, and like I said, for me, maybe I was a slow learner, but I begin to read and study God's Word anywhere from 3 to 15 hours a week for 10 years. After 10 years of dedicated study, he began to reveal these things to me. I didn't get it. I mean, I could read a scripture. I mean, there's no telling how many times I read Corinthians, and I didn't get that, verse 4, about the devil. I read that over and over and over, brother, but I didn't get it. I didn't see Satan as the one blinding our mind to these things, but yet right there it was all the time. Now then, when I open the Bible and read it, I think, how did I miss that? Have you ever wondered those kind of things, Scott? The same thing happens to you, doesn't it? You read something and somebody comes back one day and you say, let me tell you about this. And you think, yeah, I don't remember reading that in the Bible. And you go over and you got it highlighted, starred, and underlined. I've done that, haven't you? Sure. Now then, who's blind? Who's messing with our mind? Satan. Is he good at what he does? Oh, he's really good. So you see why it's so important that we as Christians stay in the Word of God? We have to stay in the Word. If we stay in the Word and learn the power we have over the enemy, not only can you do what Gloria did to that little boy, that little girl, you notice that that little girl is 10 years old today and she's perfect, isn't she, Gloria? Beautiful little girl. Doesn't it just bless your heart when you learn about things like that? It blesses mine. Yeah. I mean, Miss Betty, don't you love it when you see or hear something like that? Yeah. And you think, gee, I was sitting right behind the woman that did that. Yeah. I mean, this is a woman of God. But, of course, you know, you're a woman of God, too. You know, Bill's a man of God. I can think of the stories, you know, that y'all have told me, that y'all have seen, and how you prayed and asked God to do things. And he shows up for those of us. Why is it that I hear so many wonderful stories here, but yet when I was in the Baptist church for 30 or 40 years, I hardly ever saw one? What's wrong with us? Our eyes are blinded by who? By the devil. Yeah. So, you know, if you don't talk about it and you don't say this is what it means, and then what I love about it is when we can take a section like this and talk about these scriptures, and then I can come and use individual people about and see testimonies. And later somebody gets with Michael and says, Mike, is Thurman crazy or did that really happen? Yeah, it really happened. Do you want me and Gracie to pray for you? But it does happen. And I love it when people do get around you and start talking about those kind of things. And you can confirm exactly what I talked about and say it did happen just like that. You know, I love it. I mean, I remember that day when Gloria went over there. She said, I'm going to that hospital and I'm going to get that baby healed. She said, I'm not going to let that baby die. I mean, everything that came out of her mouth was faith. I couldn't hear anything else. Man, she went down there and got that cousin or whatever she was to repent of that sin. She kicked those devils out of that little baby and commanded that little thing to be healed in the name of Jesus. And just virtually instantly, that baby was healed. Now, can you beat that? No. Now, who are all these wonderful promises for? They're for us, for every one of us, aren't they? Are they not? But do we have to believe? Oh, you got to believe. Sure, you got to believe. You got to believe it's done. Whether you feel the sensation or not, you got to believe it's done. And when you believe it's done, you'll see it and it will happen. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, he made this light to shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, verse 7, and then I think we'll stop on verse 7. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. This thing that you and I live in is an awesome thing. Awesome, is it not? When God made this body, he made an awesome thing. I was telling somebody last night, I said, I saw a video of the machine, and it was about, I love machinery, you know, so when I saw that, I thought, I'm going to watch this movie, and so I got it and turned it on, and it was a DVD. And it showed a human being there, and it's talking about this machine, the human body. And then this camera, I don't know how they do this, but this camera made a round around this head and come back in. As it started coming in, the mouth opened wide, and the camera went right in the mouth. And the camera, where the tongue was, all of a sudden you could see the tongue in there, and as it rolling around doing what a tongue does, and then all of a sudden, when you get inside the mouth, here's all these giant mushrooms that are sticking up there by the hundreds, it looks like. And it looks like there's a ton of space between them, and they're all separated. And it says, these are your taste buds. This is the food goes down on those little taste buds and goes down into those, which goes down into the bottom, into your mouth, and that's how you taste your food. And I looked at that and I thought, why, sure, why didn't I think about that? I could have built something like that. Give me a break. Is God just a little bit ahead of us? I mean, in this thing that I live in, I take it for granted. You know that? We all do we not? We put stuff in it we should never put in it. We do things with it we should never put. And we don't praise and worship the King near enough for this wonderful body that he's given us. But we now have this light shining in our hearts. But it is clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Anybody that would believe that Gloria has the power within her as a medicine or medical person to go down and lay hands through a glass and a little girl get healed. If you think Gloria did that, we got another thing coming, don't we? It's pretty obvious who did that. Yeah, it had to be the master, right, Gloria? But he honored his word and saved that little girl. Now then, think about how many children are dying today because of those kind of sins, but they don't have an auntie or whatever like you, Gloria. Nobody knows how to get them set free. Nobody knows how to pray the prayer of faith. Nobody knows. You know, when God said in his word in the book of Job, he said there's only 1 in 1,000 men are able to pray the prayer of faith. 1 in 1,000 in Job 33. If you haven't read that lately in the King James, you ought to read it. You know, that ought to tell us something. If there's only 1 in 1,000, we've been blessed in this church because we got a whole lot more than one here. And we ain't got nowhere close to 1,000. But I guess I could look at it like this. We have over 10,000 people in our database. Cheryl said 11,000. We may not be a very big church right here on Sunday, but we have 11,000 people that we contact and send out CDs and DVDs with. That's a pretty good sized church, you know? Pretty good size. We are touching, all of us together are touching many people's lives. Many. We just don't have a clue what all God's doing. But He is doing great and wonderful things. Wow. Praise the King. So who's causing the problem of people that's not getting saved and getting healed and delivered and all that stuff?
Satan.
How much power do we have over him? So why don't we stop that? Why don't we command him to leave us and to get out of our life? And ask the Lord. Yes, ma'am.
The Lord gave me the scripture in Ecclesiastes 7:17. It says, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why should you die before your time?"
Yeah, absolutely.
Why should people die before their time? Yeah,
because they don't have that knowledge. They will not spend time with God. We are supposed to live a long, healthy life. That's absolutely what we're supposed to do. I really think that we ought to live at least 120 years, but I don't know anybody that's ever done it. Yeah, I don't know anybody that's done it, you know. So, I mean, the closest one I know to is Jimmy. You know, he's 96 now, and he hadn't had but one sick day in his life, and he's 96, and he still drives at night without glasses, and he's in perfect health. I mean, he may make it. He may make it to 120, but he's the only man I know. But he is the most godly man I've ever met, too. I mean, he reads the Word, quotes the Word. I mean, he's got that, we got it out there in the foyer, Jimmy's prayer. He prays that every day for the last, how many years? 30 or 40 years. He's spoken that prayer every day over his body. And it's out there in the foyer. As you leave, get you a copy. So, but anyway, we're going to close with the word of prayer, and then we're going to have a baptism. So we're going to baptize a young boy back there. And that's going to be next. And then after we do that, then we'll come back in here and we'll pray for those. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you're the King of Kings. And thank you for this new soul, this little young'un that's come into the kingdom of God. We're so grateful for everybody that you bring into the kingdom. And, Lord, we rebuke the enemy over anybody and everybody's eyes and heart that comes to this church, that when they come here, we rebuke you, Satan, and command you to get your hands off of them so that you will not be able to blind their mind to the truth. And we ask you, Father, to send your Holy Spirit to convict them of sin and draw them into the kingdom of God and gloriously save them. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay.